You may remember that David Murata was with me, gosh, several months ago. David, maybe almost a year ago, close to right after the show started. And David was one of the first people who had been very, very pessimistic about home buying. And then I read an article where he said, you know what, I'm seeing changes, and I think now is the time to buy. So we had him on, and sure enough, over these last several months, one after another, people have sort of jumped on that bandwagon. And whether it be local folks or national folks, folks are saying that the things are in place, that in the right situation, it's a great time to buy. And interesting enough, before we came on the show, David said, you know, since the last time I came on, I had to put my money where my mouth is. And they've actually bought two investment properties here in Charlottesville. And, you know, so he told us it was a good time to buy. He's done it, and we're going to talk about that. But, David, I really appreciate you coming on, and welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be on. Yeah, we've always recommended the hard asset category. It's one of the six asset categories that we use for our investment philosophy. And in the hard asset category, it's everything from precious metals mining companies to oil and natural gas. But real estate is always historically been the lion's share of that. And it's one of the few times where we have gotten out of a market entirely. We avoided real estate early, probably a little too early. It went up for another couple of years. And maybe my call to get back in was a little bit early too, but that's what investment advisors are always trying to do, to anticipate the markets, to make sure that you're not in something that's too risky, even if it continues to go up, and that you're not missing an opportunity, even if it hasn't yet quite started to go up. And we think real estate has been a great investment historically, and there are times when it gets overvalued and then times when it has a deep correction. And you want to buy when there's blood in the streets, and you want to sell on the sound of the trumpet. So we're contrarians and a little bit, and so we're always under or overweighting based upon what we think that might do. What's interesting is if you look at the housing market in Charlottesville, it's illiquid, and it's difficult to tell when someone buys a house. It's difficult to tell whether or not that's a great investment over the next year. You don't really know until they go to sell it, and they don't go to sell it for a long period of time. And so even though the housing market is still a buyer's market, if you look at investment real estate that's publicly priced and traded, it's had an incredible year this past year. We recommend for those who can't afford real estate individual houses, you can buy the Vanguard Real Estate Investment Trust. And over the past 12 months, it's up over 34%. So the people who bought that a year ago had a tremendous. Now, that's commercial real estate. It's a little bit different. It's mostly commercial real estate. But the real estate market as a whole, it does have some homeowners and rental property in it. But the real estate market as a whole, we think, is continuing to bottom, and it's a great time to buy.
Well, we're going to go to a break here in just a minute. But, you know, I was saying to you before we came on the show that I, on purpose, was promoting the show as real estate being a part of everybody's investment portfolio. And I purposely left out a person's individual home. But I think it's really important, and we'll talk about this after the break, but I think it's really important for people to understand that the sooner that they can get in the market versus renting, especially if it's a long-term scenario, and that's what I want to talk about. You've already, you know, sort of approached it. But when it really comes down to it, the real estate aspect of things, the longer you can stay with something, oftentimes is the best thing. And that goes along with buying your first home as well. Now, that doesn't mean you have to stay in that home. It may mean that you buy it smart enough that you can then turn it into a rental and keep that investment going forward. So that's kind of where I want to start the second half of the show today, is just talking more about that. But before we do that, we're going to go to the break. New American Mortgage, it's a great company. If you are thinking about buying or even refinancing, please take a listen. And if you're in the need for mortgage financing, New American would be a great place to go, as well as Classic Furniture. Our friends Zeke and the gang over at Classic Furniture, when you're buying that house or renting a house and you need some furniture, Classic Furniture is the way to go. We'll see you after the break. Welcome back. I'm Michael Guthrie, and you're listening to Real Estate Matters. I'm here with David Murata, and we're talking about why real estate should be a part of everybody's investment portfolio. And before we went to the break, we talked about short-term versus long-term. And real estate really is a long-term deal in most situations, unless you are in Las Vegas or Florida or someplace where things just really went to the bottom. The days of buying a house and fixing up a little bit and flipping it for lots of money are over. And I'm not saying it won't it can happen in Charlottesville. It does, but I'm talking about generally that's not the rule. David, during the break, you and I both talked about the first house we bought. And why don't you share that experience with the listeners real quick?
My wife and I got married in 1982, and we moved to Eugene, Oregon. We were looking for jobs, and Eugene, Oregon was featured on the cover of Time magazine as one of the two worst-hit cities by the recession. The logging industry had fallen apart. When we moved there, they announced layoffs of 350 people at the city of Eugene, and unemployment in the city was 35%. I've never seen things quite so bad. My wife and I were fortunate enough to actually get jobs. We rented an apartment for a year, and at the end of that year, our first year of marriage, we ended up buying a house. There were houses for sale. You could pick the block you wanted, and you could find three houses for sale. We bought our first house. It cost us $1,000 down, and we assumed a mortgage, which at that time, we got a great interest rate. Interest rates were at 18%, but we assumed a mortgage at 12.5%.
Right.
And that's how we bought our first house, is just by taking over the payments so that the previous owners could actually move to Idaho where he'd found work. So it was great. The $1,000 for a house, I always joke, I was in computer science, I was teaching computer science, and the next year I bought my first computer and it cost $5,500. So, and it had, that's because it had two floppy drives. There were no hard drives back then. So it's amazing, you know, the investment. I was able to sell the house for a lot better than I was able to sell that computer for.
Well, you know, that's the interesting thing. As I said before the break, even if you're going to – and folks who have listened to the show, they hear me say this all the time. When you're buying that first house, the mortgage payment is really important. But I also think it's important to understand what that house would rent for in the same market, you know, situation. Because 2 or 3 years later, all of a sudden – you're pregnant, the house isn't big enough, or you move, or whatever, you want to put yourself in a position where if it's not the right time to sell, you don't have to, you can rent it, or that becomes a property that goes into your investment portfolio for years and years to come. And I was saying to David during the break, I've got a couple of good friends who have been buying houses since, you know, coming out of college. I wish I'd done it with them, because I'm still working hard each and every day. And those guys are living on those investments long term. 30 years later, you know, those things have what they bought them then and what they're worth now, and the way they've turned that into more investments and things like that, they've put themselves in a very, very good financial position. And I think, you know, I was in the same place when I bought my first house where interest rates were. But and folks, listen to that, 12.5%, and when we thought that was good, and now we're in less than 5%. Same thing holds true at this point. You can still get you know, FHA financing for 3.5% down. You can still find USDA rural development financing and get this low interest rate that allows you to have a monthly payment, one that you can count on and be able to pay every month, but two, that if you were able to move, you'd have that rent. So let's talk a little bit about, David, you know, since the last time you were on, you have bought a couple properties. Obviously, you think that it is a good time to buy, and I liked what you said before. As an investment expert and somebody who's counseling, you always want to get out before it's bad, and you always want to get in once you know it's back being good again. And I think you've exhibited that in what you guys have just done.
And there's a few things for that. You actually never have to get out, so long as you don't leverage too much. I've watched a number of high net worth individuals, and the only time high net worth individuals have really get into trouble is when they leverage too much. So if you're taking out massive loans and you're buying more property with it, and you've only got, you know, 5 or 10 or 20% equity among all of your properties, then all it takes is a downturn and you're insolvent and you go bankrupt. So long as you don't leverage too much, you're perfectly okay buying properties and holding them forever, because usually, I mean, if you're leveraged zero, the cash flow, so long as it's positive, it will always right itself. And if you're not leveraged too much, you can endure a downturn and still be okay.
Well, so, the other thing you said in regards to one of the properties that you bought is that when you look at the spreadsheet on it, the whole thing works.
Yeah, it makes money, partly because we're not highly leveraged and partly because it's a, you know, it's down on Stadium Avenue, and it's a great location, and we think we'll always keep it rented. And, you know, I mean, the downside is both houses, or at least one of the houses, needed a tremendous amount of work. The roof leaked and the heating system didn't work. And we're trying to be the kind of a landlord that's a little bit different than the typical landlord. My daughter's a rising third year at the university, and, you know, her living environment had roofs falling in and, you know, dishwashers that poured water onto the floors, and she would call the management company every single week. And so we've at least gone into it with our eyes open of how bad maintenance can be. But we're trying to be the kind of landlords who've really fixed it up. And I can say I've put more money into these two rental properties than I've ever put into a house I've owned, partly because I'm frugal and partly because they just needed a tremendous amount of work. And so, we're, you know, I'm not sure if only grumpy old men become landlords or if being a landlord makes you a grumpy old man. You should have me back on in 5 years and we'll see which is the case. I'm hopeful that I can keep my sense of humor in, because I know things get broken. And after you've poured a lot of money into something, it must be heartbreaking to then have someone, you know, punch a hole in the wall or something like that. But I think rental property for the long haul is a very good deal, and it helps balance a portfolio. There's an investment advisor who's a friend of mine. He has a blog, and his latest blog is the best hedge against inflation is a 30-year fixed mortgage. Which I agree with tremendously. So if you're getting a loan today, you know, and you're getting a loan that's under 6%, the government's paying 2% of it. It's only costing you 4%. And that money today you can invest, and over the 30 years, think about how much that money would make invested in the markets. And then you'd have the balance of having a property that's appreciating, you'd have a loan that's really going down by inflation every year, and then you'd have an investment portfolio that's going up by market rates of return. So that's a perfect combination right there. Is you've got a full balanced portfolio. And people who only have investment property and only have real estate, I think, should diversify. But people who don't have any should also diversify and at least find some way of investing in real estate, because it has a completely different return from everything else, and it helps balance a portfolio.
I think it's important too. And if you could, when you get a chance, shoot me an email with that link, and I'll post it on the Real Estate Matters Facebook page, which, by the way, is facebook.com/Real Estate Matters. And I put an article on there a couple days ago just in regards to what we're talking about today. So take a look at that. But I'll post that one as well. But I think it's really also important that the properties that you bought at Stadium Rome, one, obviously, interestingly enough, was a builder who did exactly what you said. He leveraged himself too much. And the next thing you knew, he couldn't afford it. But the other one, both of them, you might have been able to buy for less at some particular point. You didn't buy them at the bottom, but you got a good price, and yet it's still going to work for you. So the reason I say that is folks need to know that if you find the right house in the right location and with the right parameters, it doesn't have to be a steal.
No,
to make it work financially.
It just has to be a good deal. And I think the average house on the market today is a good deal. And so if you're willing to make three or four offers, which we did, there were a couple other properties we tried to buy, and it didn't seem like it was quite as fair a price. And then these seemed like they were fair prices. And so that's why it got closed. So if you're willing to take an average house on the market today, it's probably going to work out for you. So there are deals out there today, and they'll certainly look like deals in 5 minutes or in 5 years.
David, it's funny you'd say that, because I say to sellers all the time, the folks who are smart and aggressive with their price will get their house sold. You just gave a great example right there, as you made offers on other ones where those sellers hadn't gotten it yet, whereas the sellers that you bought the houses from understood that they needed to be aggressive with their price if they wanted to get their houses sold. Really appreciate you being here today.
Thank you so much.
Folks, our time is up. And as always, we thank you so much for yours.